Good afternoon, everyone in America and around the world. This is All You Need to Know Radio, and I am your host, John Hollywood. People all my life have doubted me. Then came the success of my first company at 19 years old. Now I've been on the radio for over 18 years with two different number one shows. Luckily, we have been blessed that way. Now I'm being asked, what is next? My response was very easy. In the words of the iconic Madonna, I want to rule the world. I want to do it in a different way, however. I want to educate the world with the truth where our country is right now. I am ready for the challenge. The question is, do you want to come along for the journey of your life with me? We shall see, as All You Need to Know Radio starts right now.
For some reason.
Right now?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Don't like that. How about now? Let's try this. 1 second here.
I can hear you speaking,
right,
but I can't
can
understand.
Now?
Yes, now I can. Perfectly. Thank you.
All right. No problem. All right, everybody. Welcome to All You Need to Know Radio. I am your host, John Hollywood. This is our first show on Tuesday at 4 p.m., and Dallas is completely shut down. The coronavirus, which I've been talking about for weeks, has completely taken over our city. All bars, all gyms, all restaurants, all movie theaters are all closed for the next 14 days by order of the government. Well, actually by suggestion of the government. What do you think about that, Amos?
Well, I think it's smart and wise. I'm a person who, in general, tries to be not alarmist and very evidence-based and fact-based in my decision-making. I do not think it is alarmist or outside of the evidence to say that this is a very serious situation. You know, thousands of people have died already in Europe and in China, and it's likely that the number of individuals who have been exposed to coronavirus in North Texas, where we both are, is substantially higher than the numbers are borne out in the testing, simply because there are not sufficient tests. It's a sad thing. I think it's a smart thing. I will tell all of your listeners that the law office of Warren Chanun, the physical office, is closed, my business. I know there are a lot of other people who are doing similar things. And I think it's wise, given the serious health risks and the fact that you can be a carrier without having symptoms, and a elderly person, if they come in contact with you, could potentially pass away because you didn't practice social isolation and quarantine in an effective manner. So it sucks, but I think it's a good move.
All right, so I think, first of all, I 100% agree with you about closing your law firm. There's no reason that you should put yourself in any jeopardy with other people in the building. I've been in your building, and there are a lot of older people there. And that's one thing that I'm really surprised the government is not focusing on, is that coronavirus actually affects people with compromised immune systems. Also, if you are 55 or older, stay away from everybody just for the next 14 days. Because what's the truth of the matter is the government is trying to figure out what this actually is. They still don't know. They just started testing yesterday, even though they're lying to everybody, showing them they tested before that. It's just crazy to me.
I also want to say, John, and I don't think, in fact, I'm pretty sure you don't know this, my younger brother, who currently lives in Boston, Massachusetts, he's going to school up there, I believe may legitimately have COVID-19. He has had an upper respiratory infection for a week, with a fever of between 100 and 103 degrees, and they won't test him. He's been to the doctor twice. They don't have a test kit for it. Now, he's a young man. He's almost certainly going to live, but it's just a close-to-home example of what I was saying a little bit ago, that testing, the relatively low reported numbers of infected individuals in America is probably because we haven't done effective testing, not because it hasn't already come to America.
We haven't done any testing. That's what I'm trying to say, is that Trump is standing up there in front on the, you know, in front of the podium, patting himself on the back, trying to make himself look like the hero of all this, when he's the villain of all this. The reason this disease was not found before this is because he cut the funding of the CDC by half, which means, this was years ago too, which means that people are not monitoring other countries, like top secret information. They're not monitoring diseases that other countries are popping up with. Scientists are not looking for cures for diseases because they're not there. And so,
by executive order in 2017,
the inexperience of this president.
I completely agree. By executive order in 2017, one of the things he did, and he did several different things that affects pandemic response, but one of the most important things he did was he restructured the pandemic response team that was put in place by Obama, and essentially fired a bunch of doctors and epidemiologists, pandemic response unit, under the bioterror response unit of the National Security Council. He fired a bunch of people to save money. And those are the people who would have done exactly what you just described of monitoring potential pandemics and their responses in other countries. So that, you know, when we first started getting hints of this coming out of China, you know, 2 months ago, at that time, it would have been appropriate for the Center for Disease Control to respond in its statutory manner and trigger some sort of response in America to prevent the spread of the infection. But they failed. I mean, there was nobody there to do the work, and they failed. And so when Donald Trump gets up in a press conference and says, you know, it wasn't me, it wasn't my fault, he, as he has typically done over the course of his presidency, is lying. He is telling a falsehood.
He cannot take credit when everything's great. The buck stops with the President of the United States, God damn it, and this is Donald Trump's fault. And
yep.
what he tried to probably use the money for was to build that damn fictitious wall that Mexico was supposed to pay for.
What's interesting, talking about, you know, the way government funding works and the way appropriations work, you know, you don't want Peter to pay Paul in quite that same way. There's just this massive deficit. So, you know, if you really want to talk about the finances of the United States federal government, the real problem is the tax cut that was unnecessary, which blew a huge hole in the deficit spending. I mean, we had something like a $300 billion deficit in the first quarter of 2020. That's unsustainable. Typically, the deficit hawks always want to go after Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and that kind of thing, when really the problem here is that Amazon and Jeff Bezos pay less taxes than you and me, which is ridiculous.
Well, but let's give them – they actually pay no taxes because they use our tax laws. It's
right.
not that they're violating the law, right?
Correct. It's legal tax avoidance.
Which Donald Trump did the exact same thing.
He has for years, and part of the 2017 tax bill gave huge breaks to real estate developers so they could claim bigger depreciation losses carried forward. It's kind of technical, but your listeners, for the purposes of kind of the big picture, need to understand that the 2017 tax law was a massive scam, and when you know, people say things like, there's no money, how are we going to pay for Bernie Sanders' proposal of Medicare for all? Well, the answer is by taxing people appropriately. It's not – we don't need to make changes on the spending side. We need to make changes on the taxation side and make it so that the double dutch was the Irish sandwich, which is a – it sounds like a weird – thing, but it's a tax avoidance maneuver where and I'm not going to explain it well. I'm not an international tax lawyer, but basically you have a headquarters in Holland and another headquarters in Ireland, and then you can charge profits to both of them in a specific way and essentially claim no corporate income for the purposes of corporate income taxation. And companies like Apple and Amazon and Google all do this, double dutch with an Irish sandwich. It's perfectly legal. It is legal, but it's grossly unethical, and it's how they result in incredibly profitable companies with billions of dollars in cash paying $0 in taxes because they're showing that they didn't earn profit on their tax return, when that's just grossly false in real life.
Exactly. Guys, if you're just joining us, my name is John Hollywood, and you're listening to All You Need to Know Radio live for the first time on Tuesday at 4 p.m. If you'd like to be part of the show, call 516-531-9990. That's 516-531-9990. And if you're brave enough to be part of the show, you want to talk to Omos or myself, press 1. The producer will know that you want to be part of the show, or you can just listen to the entire show on that phone number also. Please, we are sponsored by today American Wealth USA Group, ending America's debt one debt at a time to truly make America great again. Call 972-764-3120. Right now we have our constitutional lawyer and best in justice, Almost Warwich. Tell everybody about your firm real quick, buddy, and give them the telephone number. They can get a hold of you.
Sure. Thank you very much, John. You can reach me by calling 972-863-9592. The law firm is called Warwich and Nunn, www.warwichnunn.com. What we do is general civil litigation. If you need to sue someone for money or you are getting sued for money, we can probably help you. We do business and real estate law. We do landlord-tenant law. We do personal injury law. And we can also help you with business transactions and custom contracts. We do not do criminal or civil, we do not do criminal or divorces. But here in Dallas, Texas, serving all of Texas and Arkansas, warrantsnun.com.
So I got a question for you. Give me an example of your favorite case that you've won and what it was about.
My favorite case
in
my entire career,
or anything like that.
Okay, that's a good question. So, as you may know, and your longtime listeners may know, I'm Jewish and I was born in Israel. I'm not a very religious man, but I do have some friends in the religious Jewish community in North Texas and Dallas, Texas, which is quite large. And in 2014, I was hired by a young man. It's actually public record. This is totally fine and ethical for me to say his name and the name of the adverse party. His name is Hillel Rodin, and he was a nursing student at Medical City and El Centro in Dallas. He's also a Orthodox Jew, the son of a rabbi, and he had a hospital orientation for his nursing program that fell on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year and one of the holiest days in Judaism. And this not very good Jew who never goes to anything goes to synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, okay? but Hillel was told by El Centro College, the Dallas County Community College District, that if he were to miss the hospital orientation for his nursing program, which only happened on Rosh Hashanah, then he would be kicked out of the program. That is a violation of the Texas Religious Freedom Act. It's also a violation of the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Texas, the Establishment Clause, which permits the establishment of a religion. It's part of the First Amendment. And what I did for Hillel is he came to me on a Thursday afternoon saying, I'm going to be kicked out of school on a Monday. And I worked all weekend, and on Monday morning at 8 a.m., I filed a federal lawsuit and an injunction against the Dallas County Community College District on behalf of Hillel Rodin. And by 4 p.m. that day, I had a hearing before federal judge Sam Lindsay, and we had an agreement in principle. We basically settled the case in one day. I was in the press, it was in the news, it was pretty interesting, and, you know, that was not a big money case. I've been involved in million-dollar lawsuits. That was not a big money lawsuit, but it was the only time in my career where I've filed a lawsuit against the government for a constitutional violation, and just like that, one day, made a recovery for my client, got the government to do the right thing on behalf of a young man who was in desperate need of legal help. So that is probably my favorite case in my career.
And when did that happen?
I believe it was 2014.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. We've never done that before. We've always told everybody what a rock star in the courtroom you are and everything, but we've never heard anything about it. So I think that's amazing.
Well, you asked. I love to tell the stories.
No, absolutely, and we definitely
yeah.
want to hear more about what you do, and I want to think we should do that on each show so you'd be ready for that. So
yes, sir.
Legally, what you're hearing about what Trump is proposing,
yes.
they can't, under the Constitution, would they be able to actually tell people they have to stay home?
That
for
is a very complicated
making,
question.
Suggestion?
That is a very complicated question, John. The answer to the question is using some form of an Emergency Powers Act with the correct declaration of a national emergency, which has already been declared, I believe for the short term, the answer is yes. They can require people to quarantine themselves, and they can do things like restrict travel, say, you know, you're not allowed to drive from Seattle, Washington to Butte, Montana, or whatever. However, it does call into question the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitutions for unreasonable search and seizures and due process. And
can you explain
also,
what those mean, please?
Oh, God.
Just
yes,
so
sir. So the Fourth
Amendment.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're right. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution prevents illegal searches and seizures. It's why the government needs a warrant before they can go into your house. And I think it could be argued that if the government is telling you that you must stay in your house and you cannot leave in some sort of enforced quarantine, that constitutes a seizure. There they're forcing you to stay in one place. That's a seizure. It's kind of like a writ of habeas corpus where you say, look, you need to either charge me with a crime or let me out of jail, right? It's kind of like that. And so I think that is arguably implicated. The Fourth Amendment prohibition on seizures without a warrant is arguably implicated. There's also the Due Process Clause, which is contained in the Fifth and the 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution. Both of those clauses are very complicated and do a lot of different things, but for the purposes of this discussion, you have to have a hearing of some sort if you are being punished by the government. If the government is saying, you know, we're going to throw you in jail or we're going to issue you a fine or something like that, you're supposed to be able to have a hearing. So you get process, you get due process of law. And the argument would be that if you are confined to your home under some sort of emergency powers declaration, if the government cannot prove that you need to be so quarantined, then arguably they're violating your due process rights if you don't have a hearing, if you don't have the ability to make an argument to that effect. And there's more. There's other types of law that potentially would prohibit the government from putting someone in a quarantine for a long term. Pretty sure for a short term national emergency, it is in fact legal and constitutional for the government to be able to say, look, it's a huge emergency, you need to stay at home for a few days. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, definitely. I was seeing that we were trying to use my microphone again, but it's just not going to work. I don't know. We'll have to switch that out or clean it up or something or whatever. So we are in a new studio, so high above downtown or above Dallas on a Dallas Parkway at the do we want to give our location? Nah, I don't want to give my location now.
Probably not.
Maybe after the show. But, you know, what I was thinking is that this trillion-dollar – first of all, I want you to listen to this. Take a listen.
Sure.
Very well under control. We have very little problem in this country at this moment. There's a theory that in April, when it gets warm, historically, that has been able to kill the virus. The people are getting better. They're all getting better. Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that. Right? And this is their new hoax. And we're prepared, and we're doing a great job with it, and it will go away. Just stay calm, and we'll see what happens. But they think August, could be July, could be longer than that. I've spoken actually with my son. He says, how bad is this? It's bad. It's bad. I was talking about what we're doing is under control, but I'm not talking about the virus.
A new
so
poll.
Once again, it takes Donald Trump being affected for him to actually admit that there is a problem. Calling it a Democratic hoax was probably the death of his campaign.
Well,
I really think this is his kryptonite.
I hate to, you know, dance with glee when there really, really are people dying from this all over the world.
Yes, 70
but frankly,
Americans.
I tend to agree with you.
70 Americans,
I mean,
and 79,000 people worldwide.
I was not aware of that statistic, but it doesn't shock me. That doesn't sound like you're way off.
Well, and the situation with Americans is that our numbers are not accurate because he's lying to people, as he always does, and we have not been testing people. So you're going to see the numbers go through the roof. I'm hearing 2 million are going to be
dead. If we ever get appropriate testing, and because of the politics of the matter, and it was so gross the way he accuses the quote-unquote Democrats of politicizing the coronavirus. That's so gross. I mean, a lot of what he does is kind of gross, but it's important to call out when he does something that's so outside of the typical norms. I mean, the problem is, you know, he didn't consider it to be a problem until the stock market freaking crashed. And now all of a sudden, you know, all of his rich buddies are worried about it. And so they're floating a $1.5 trillion bailout of the cruise and airline industry after the airline industry spent billions of dollars on stock buybacks in the last couple of years. I mean, the whole thing is gross, and it shouldn't be normalized. There's also issues with Trump rejecting the WHO coronavirus test kit and evidence that Jared Kushner's brother, who runs a large healthcare organization called Oscar, may be attempting to profit by selling their own patented test kit, which is just ridiculous. You want to talk about politicizing the coronavirus, maybe you shouldn't try to turn it into a cash grab from the White House. I mean, it's so gross what he's doing on a day-to-day basis that it's hard for typical Americans to sometimes recall what a president's supposed to act like and supposed to look like, that it's not this. And then in terms in terms of his election chances, and I kind of went off on a bit of a tangent, but I want to talk about you. Your question to me was about his election chances, so let's talk about that.
Okay, can you do me a favor? That music means we need to take a quick break. So we'll be right back, and we'll be right back with Almost. This is John Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You're listening to All You Need to Know Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. About you, wanna wake up with you next to me. I don't wanna go down.
If I had to choose what I couldn't lose, there'd only be one thing.
Hollywood with All You Need to Know Radio, and we're here with Almost. And Almost, why you didn't hear any commercials is I made an executive decision. This is too important. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go to commercial break. So let's finish what we were talking about. Remind everybody.
Yeah, sure. You were discussing Donald Trump's whether or not the coronavirus crisis is going to affect his election chances. And I think your opinion was something along the lines of, this is his kryptonite, this is different, this is more real, it's really going to affect his support. And I have several things to say about that, and then we took a little break.
So we're ready to hear you.
All right, so first things first, I do think it will negatively affect his reelection chances. I think that there's a bit of a boy who cried wolf kind of effect going on here where, you know, or perhaps you could say the emperor has no clothes, where it's like his support has been kind of holding steady at around 40% in polling for a long time. And it seems like no matter what, you know, impeachment and calling climate change a hoax and, you know, making fun of disabled people and things like that, it seems like no matter what, nothing will kind of eat into that 40% of support. But I think this might be different because, you know, it's the kind of thing where these people who are a little bit brainwashed by Trump and the right-wing noise machine from Fox News and Breitbart and others, if their worldview gets challenged to the point that they recognize something that Trump is doing or saying is just completely false and a lie, it's possible that they will, in fact, reconsider their views on other issues. Now, do I think that that'll make a lot of people run out and vote for Joe Biden? Frankly, no. But I think it may make people not go out and vote for Donald Trump, who otherwise would have been his reliable supporters. And recall, he barely beat Hillary in the Electoral College in three states.
Exactly.
Really close. It was really close.
But he's got everybody
Biden,
believing that he won the election by a landslide. Mm-hmm. That is an out-and-out lie.
Right. he lost the popular vote by 3 million.
Million, yeah. Those are all illegal aliens, though. They're here legally.
Right.
They shouldn't have voted.
And one of the things that I'm seeing and hearing is I'm seeing and hearing people being concerned that he's going to use the coronavirus crisis to attempt to cancel the November election. And you and I have spoken
too.
About that before. And
right.
I can see that happening. There is, I figured out the legal authority for why he's not allowed to do that. It's
okay.
3 U.S.C. Section 1. So it's like one of the very foundational first statutes that have ever been passed by the federal government. 3 United States Code, Section 1. It's the third law ever passed. And it basically says that you cannot suspend the elections. That's essentially what it says. It says the president doesn't have the power. The executive branch doesn't have the power to suspend the elections. It would be the Congress that
even
has that
if
power.
Even if he's implemented the war powers?
I believe so, by my reading.
This is a pandemic. So this is
right,
not a normal thing.
But, you know, even – I believe even in a pandemic. I mean, they voted during the Civil War. They voted during the Spanish flu. They voted during the Great Depression. They can vote during the coronavirus. And even if they can't, I think that he does not have the legal authority. It would have to come from Congress. Now, he also doesn't have the legal authority to obstruct justice, and he doesn't have the legal authority to the release of his tax returns after they've been validly subpoenaed by the House of Representatives, but he did it anyway, and the Senate let him get away with it. So, you know, just because it's illegal doesn't necessarily mean he won't try and that he won't succeed, but I am pretty sure it is in fact illegal to suspend the election for the coronavirus.
I would think so too, definitely.
Yeah.
Real quick, we have some breaking news. This breaking right now on All You Need to Know Radio, courtesy of CNN. New York mayor tells 8 million people be prepared to shelter in place. Decision to be made in 48 hours as city nears 1,000 cases of the coronavirus. This is going to get bad.
Mm-hmm.
New York
and
City.
And that number's underreported.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I mean, I don't often, like I said, I'm not trying to be alarmist, but it apparently is a real thing that's actually happening, and it makes sense to practice good social hygiene and social distancing and awareness and isolationism. I mean, stock up your groceries
also,
and sit in place.
One thing I want to bring, I just noticed, is I thought all the elections were stopped, but I'm looking at numbers right now, and Joe Biden's beating Bernie Sanders. I can't see where. 71%
to 23% today. I think it's like Arizona and Indiana. I think there's 4 states that are voting in the Democratic primaries.
Okay, so
I think Ohio may have suspended.
Yes, Copperhead just said certain states, but he's checking into that real quick.
Yeah, I believe Ohio suspended the vote.
And he did it against a judge's order. Is what I've heard.
Well, I don't know the details there, so I'm not going to comment. But
I understand. And as far as I was going to make you comment. Well, so what advice could you give people right now just to give them any calm of what is going on? Because I am trying to look at this as a 14-day vacation. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's bad to be away from everybody for 14 days. And especially people that are sick. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want Donald Trump to look like the hero in this at all, because he's the villain, he's the cause of it, and we still, right now, they're still lying to people. And I'm just sick of it.
You know, I have a few different things to say. First of all, I do think that there are some chinks in the armor, that this may be the Emperor Has No Clothes type moment, where some of the kind of 38-40% of the American populace who, you know, think Trump can do no wrong may start to reconsider because of his incompetence in dealing with this crisis. So there's that silver lining. And then, you know, as to kind of specific advice for the day-to-day for your listeners, I would say to practice good hygiene and try not to touch your face, because it mostly transmits via mucous membrane like the eyes, nose, and mouth. And to especially avoid the elderly, and if you think you've come into contact with somebody who has coronavirus or COVID-19, and you start to have an upper respiratory infection with a fever and shortness of breath in particular, you should consider going to a hospital or making a doctor's appointment, because the medical professionals are still working and it is worth it to get checked out. 1% of people who contract this pass away. It's not a typical flu. It's a pneumatic flu. Even if you're not over 55, you could die from this. If you get an upper respiratory infection, go to the doctor. It's worth the money. And other than that, you know, stay in place, practice good social isolation and hygiene, and you'll be fine. It'll blow over soon.
Absolutely. Hey, Copperhead wants to ask you a question. He's going in and getting on the microphone.
Yes, sir.
Because he just did a little bit of research, and he hadn't talked to you in a while, so we wanted to say hi to you, so we'll keep you just a little bit longer. Were you surprised when they actually shut down everything in Dallas? I mean,
no.
Was that a surprise to you?
Honestly, no. I think given the pandemic status, it makes sense. And, you know, I do want to emphasize that essential services are, in fact, open. Grocery stores are open. Pharmacies are open. Banks, a lot of them are open. The courts are partially open. You know, the city goes on, life goes on, but gatherings, movie theaters, bars, they're closed, and they're closed for a good reason. Stay isolated, and everyone will be fine.
Okay, Copperhead is on the line. Say hello to Amos, Copperhead.
Hey, Amos, how's it going?
Life is very good. Thank you very much. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing a little bit of research here, and what I'm finding is for decades now, we've been studying vitamin C and its impact on viruses as a whole, all the way back from mumps and measles to chickenpox and the common cold. And so far, they're finding out that high concentrations of vitamin C, something that most households have readily access to, is something that can help combat this disease. So it may take 2,000 milligrams a day to kind of compete against it, but they're looking at studies that show that even with severe diseases and severe infections such as measles or chickenpox, 72 hours at 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day can help minimize to curing these diseases. And this is something they're now looking into the contravirus with and seeing how its implications on that, because every household has a gallon of orange juice laying around or supplements that are vitamin C, and it's so easy and readily to get to. And if it can help minimize or help cure people quickly, that's an easy route to go to and very inexpensive.
I agree. And I think, you know, I'm not a medical professional and I'm not, you know, going to give people medical advice over the radio, but, you know, anything you can do to help is probably a good idea. You know, I have also obviously heard that vitamin C is good for upper respiratory infections. I'm not super familiar with the science you're describing, but can't hurt. Drink OJ.
And also for most of your, of course, partner with your doctor, but vitamin C regimen can go hand in hand with most of your prescribed medicines. There are some that don't need to be. I know antibiotics can't be taken with vitamin C's, but we're talking about a virus here, so it's a little bit of a different medication. And so be careful with – and always tell your doctor what you're taking so that that will definitely not interfere. But it's a great advice for especially people who are trying to prevent the disease.
Right. Hand washing. The government is right now saying hand washing, don't touch your face, are the best preventative.
Absolutely. Guys, real quick, we have some breaking news. This is John Hollywood with All You Need to Know Radio. Sadly, I need to report that per CNN, at least 100 people have died from the coronavirus in the U.S. and as in the EU takes measures to limit the virus global spread. The numbers are st- stagnant at this point, and they're only going to go up higher and higher and higher because, like I said before, we have not been vesting people. So, Amos, we'll go ahead and let you do your closing, but what do you think about that? How high do you think we're going to go?
I'm reluctant to make a specific prediction, and I think that something that we've both identified is that this mendacious, pathological, incompetent administration that currently exists in the White House is going to do everything they can to minimize the news and the quote-unquote staggering numbers. It's a shame that it's all about Donald Trump's re-election chances and not about giving accurate information to the American populace. That said, I wish everyone the best of luck, stay safe, and Donald Trump and his cadre need to be defeated in November, whether that's Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, and I think it's likely to be Joe Biden. We all need to come together, and we all need to come together and work to defeat Donald Trump at the ballot box as roundly as we possibly can to prevent future problems in America related to coronavirus and unrelated to coronavirus.
Absolutely. Almost, thank you so much. You've given us more of your time than you were supposed to. I greatly appreciate it. So does America.
You're very welcome, John. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, Almost.
All right, guys. So right now, we've always wanted to have him on. Let's have him on. This is our fitness expert coming right up.
Now, Blog Talk Radio.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feels like December when somebody say your name, cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day.
Good evening, everybody, or good afternoon, actually. We're welcoming back to All You Need to Know Radio, heard worldwide. And thanks to you guys, we are the number one show in the country right now. Cannot tell you how much we appreciate that. Welcome back from a commercial break. I'm John Hollywood, your host of All You Need to Know Radio. We are now heard because we heard you. For months, you guys have hammered us with emails and private messages that you want to be part of the show. We would love that. So 516-531-9990, that's 516-531-9990 is the line you can call in for the studio. Right now, we are so excited to have our fitness expert with us. He's been on location, doing a lot of filming. Can't wait to hear about what he's been up to. But this guy is the most incredible trainer that Dallas is very, very happy to have him, because there are so many trainers in Dallas that they lie about who they are. They lie about their credentials. But we have the one and only Tim McCunsby, and he is no liar. He is a winner. Say hello to everyone, Tim.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for having me on the show, Mr. John Hollywood. It's always a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to what today has to offer and all the questions that I have.
Yes, sir. You do have a lot. So the first thing I want to ask you is kind of a personal question. It's not part of the questions, but I think people will find it interesting. When I very first trained with you, you made me feel so comfortable in everything that was going on, even though I was already in pretty good shape because I'd been working out for 15 years before I came to you. You still had a way about you that you could read my body language. You had literally just met me. When you meet your client at the very first time, What's going through your mind?
Oh, John, that's a good question. I think I'm just trying to read. I'm just trying to read into them a little bit more. You know, some of their verbal cues, their body language, things like that. Because I know most people do not want to be in the gym. Most people do not like working out. So, if I can try to figure out someone on more of a personal level, then I can tell their workouts more to what they like and what's comfortable to them. So, I think part of the first couple of sessions is me just trying to figure out how I can relate to my client as best as possible, kind of put myself in their shoes, and then tailor the workouts and the conversations towards them a little bit more.
You know, when I gained so much respect for you, and you may or may not remember this, but I bet you remember this. There was somebody that came in and really, really wanted to train with you. You just didn't think it was a good fit. So you referred them somewhere else. Do you remember that?
I mean, I vaguely remember that whole situation, but it's something
but,
I've done
but, I mean,
times
how,
in my life for sure.
But how amazing is that? That you did. You're not about the money, like so many of other people are. So it's just incredible. Do you have a routine? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you know if you're gonna have a job, you're gonna work for something, you're gonna try to help people out. It's like, you want to help people out that you can get along with, right? So my job is helping people with their fitness, their nutrition, feeling better about themselves. And I can do a better job if I get along with the person. So if I know if our energies are kind of matching or I can uplift them a little bit more, it's good and dandy. But if it's someone who, you know, is shut down, isn't open to learning new ideas, techniques, change their behaviors a little bit, it's probably not going to work out. So, yeah, at some point I need to be a little bit more selective on who I can take in as far as trying to, you know, help out.
Do you agree or disagree with this statement? A personal trainer can educate you on good exercise habits or design a special program. They can motivate you and encourage you, and when you would rather do something else, they can push you to achieve your goals. But it's really up to you and only you.
I agree.
I mean, really, I mean, that's just crazy. All right. So those were just a few things that I thought about. And real quick, tell everybody your credentials, because we only have winners on this show. And I tell you, I've known Tim for many years, and I've never seen anything but a winning attitude in this guy. He's somebody that I can be depressed and go around, and he puts a smile on my face. Those are hard people to find, especially in Dallas.
I appreciate it. First and foremost, I'm a registered dietitian and licensed dietitian nutritionist. I'm a certified personal trainer through the National Academy of Sports Medicine and also a performance enhancement specialist. Those are the three main ones. And, I mean, there's some other certifications I have that are offsets of the NASM certification that I have, but those are the ones that usually catch people's eyes.
And, you know, guys, you can email Tim at allyouneedtoknowradio@gmail.com and put fitness expert in the subject matter, because we get a lot of emails. We've got so many emails for Tim right now, there's no way he can even answer them all today. But what's other ways they can get a hold of you directly if they'd like to be a client?
One of the better ways is probably through my Instagram, at Tim McCumsey. So it's T-I-M-M-C-C. O-M as in Michael, S-E-Y.
I could give him your cell phone number.
negative on that.
All right, questions. This is from Rebecca C. in Arlington, Texas.
Start over.
Exactly. My screen just started going crazy. How often should you be exercising? 3 to 4 times a week, or less, or more?
I would recommend
with a personal trainer
starting out. I would recommend at least, you know, 3 days a week of working out, especially when you're starting out, because you can start learning all new exercises. And if you're doing like an every other day type split, it's better to hold you keeps you more accountable. You're going to look forward to your sessions a little bit more and you can form a better relationship with your personal trainer.
Okay, that was a good answer. I like that. Hopefully she took that. This one is from Robert W. of Plano, Texas. Using a personal trainer is having a personal service. How is your program different than anyone else's around town?
You know, I don't really know how
it's
other
kind
people
of vague,
do their,
really.
Do their pro-
it's kind of vague, really.
What's that?
I said that question is kind of vague.
I don't know really how other programs run their personal training and stuff. Like I kind of said earlier in the radio, it's, you know, I try to relate to my client a little bit more, and I try to find out what they're into and how they want to be trained. So it's like I don't train everyone the same because everyone's different. I tailor myself to my client a little bit more to make the training sessions more fun for them and more personalized to them. So maybe other people don't know do that. I'm not really sure, but that's the number one thing that I try to work on.
Okay, this one is from Dolly W. from Arlington, Texas. I'm 60 years old. I keep trying to get me and my husband to go to the gym. My husband does nothing but sit in front of his television and smoke cigarettes. I'm terrified I'm going to come home and find him dead. Golly, it's personal. Sorry, hold on a second. Pull myself from here. What can I do to change my life? I know it's his decisions on what he does, and he will reap the benefits of the smoking. What do I do to make sure I'm not a victim of that? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty deep, right? I mean, those are far deeper issues than just personal training and things like that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to take care of yourself. I mean, if you take care of yourself, you're feeling better, you're sleeping better, you're eating better, you have more energy, and, you know, maybe your husband or her husband can see that. Maybe he wants to change as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, everyone has their own choices they want to make, whether, like, if their health is important or not. Obviously, she sees it's important, so she just needs it. Focus on her, and then hopefully that he comes along for the ride as well.
Okay, I'm not going to ask this next question. I'll tell you why later. How much should I expect to be charged from a personal trainer with your qualifications? This is William Charles, actually. He said uses the full name. William Charles from Plano, Texas.
I had different packages as far as my training goes and different options, but for an hour session, depending on the packages, could be anywhere between $85 to $100 an hour. And that will include the personal training, nutrition, customized meal planning, all that included.
And guys, let me tell you something I know personally is that Tim will go over and above anything if he sees you're trying. If you're not trying, just don't waste your time going and don't waste his time booking because it won't be a good match. Because Tim is for serious people only, but you get serious results, male or female. Trust me, they'll be going, damn, what are you doing?
And, you know, John, also to include in there is I also offer online personal training and nutrition.
Really?
Where they reap the benefits of having me online via email access and social media access. Those programs range anywhere between $200 to $300 a month as well.
But they still need to contact you to do a consultation, so we don't want to do a leak drink like you that, do we?
I mean, a consultation, yeah. I mean, it's all paperwork. It's all virtual. But I do that so I can reach more people throughout the world.
Okay. Once again, this woman says, my name is Helen Williams. You can use my last name. I'm in my 50s. And I really would like to get back in the gym. I normally don't do free weights. I've heard free weights are not for women. We've heard this before, I think. Is that true?
Free weights are for everyone. Everyone, male or female. The reason you want to do free weights is because you're trying to keep as much muscle on your body as possible as we age. We tend to lose muscle mass, you know, after the age of 25 going on forward. And then also our bones benefit from weightlifting. So if you lift something heavier than what you're used to, lifting weights can help slow down osteoporosis. So, you know, women and men, as we age, we're more prone to breaking bones when we fall, things like that. So working out consistently on a weekly basis can help prevent those things from happening.
It really is that. How does it do that?
You know, there's different mechanisms in the body and stuff like that. But once you start working out, your body releases calcium, you know, into the bones and things like that. So it helps. It helps with that part.
Okay.
So people who are healthier in their 70s, you know, when they fall and they break their hips and they're usually out for a while,
right.
Someone tends to be a little bit more healthy and more strong. They can bounce back from that a lot easier in recovery.
So when you take a client on, do they have to do nutrition and training, or can you give them a choice?
I mean, to be honest, if you train with me, we're going to talk about nutrition regardless. I love food. I love nutrition, which I'm a dietitian. So, I mean, if you're training with me, we'll talk about food, and then it's up to the client if they're really going to listen to me on the food stuff, or they're just going to eat whatever they want. So,
final question. Let's see. I don't like that question. Hold on. You won't like that question either. Do you train people together? Do you train couples? Me and my husband would like to be trained together. We're having trouble finding a trainer that will let us do it together. Are you someone we could call?
I love training couples. I'm training a couple right now who are getting married at the end of this month. I think it's one of the things that make me the most happy when I train people is training a couple that want to be fit and healthy together. So, and my pricing reflects that. So my pricing is a little bit cheaper for what their session would be, just because I appreciate the fact that they do that together, and I look up to them for doing something like that because it's something I would want in my relationships. So when another couple wants it, I love it, and I love helping them out.
Yeah, we talked about that last time about do your girlfriends ever ask you why you're not on your Instagram? And you said that was going to change. Has that changed yet?
It'll be changing soon for sure.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Thanks, Mr. Hollywood.
Hey, buddy, this is your closing to your fans. You have the floor for 2 minutes.
Listen, everyone, I just want to thank you all for the questions. The questions are always great. I hope you guys take some of my advice. And I just hope you all just stay healthy during these next few weeks, as what we all know what's going on in the world today. So, you know, just continue to wash your hands, continue to eat healthy, keep your immune system high and running. And, you know, just keep living your life. Don't panic too much here. And, you know, keep the health.
Amen to that.
Questions coming. I'm here for your help. So, wish you all healthiness.
All right. Thank you so much, sir, for giving us your time. That was Tim McCunsby, fitness expert for All You Need to Know Radio. Go to his Facebook page, any social media he's on, Tim McCunsby Fitness. Thank you so much, Tim. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right, guys. So keep those questions coming for Tim because I wanted to say something real quick. There's a couple of questions that were sent that were very personal and sexual. Please don't do that. Please don't memonize this segment, because we are doing this segment to actually help the public. That's what this radio show is for. So Tim McCunsby is a serious personal nutritionist, the best in everything he does. Treat him with that same respect. This is All You Need to Know Radio. I'm John Hollywood. Remember, you can hear us on as far as social media. Go like us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr. We're on Snapchat. We're on Twitter. And don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the band Land War Grove. We'll be right back, guys.
Mine better be proud of me. Even when I'm ugly, still better love me. And I can be late for a date, that's fine, but you better be on time. In a book, in a box, in the closet.
All right, everybody, welcome back to All You Need to Know Radio. I am your host, John Hollywood. Thank you once again, Tim McCunsby, as our fitness expert. We are so lucky to have him. And now it's time for our ever-popular song pick of the week. It's by the megastar Lady Gaga. I didn't love this song when I very first heard it, but the more that I'm playing it in my head, I think it's going to be a huge dance hit. And Copperhead also agreed with that. So without further ado, this is All You Need to Know Radio Song Pick of the Week. It's new, it's dangerous, and it's in your face, Lady Gaga. Everybody, that was Lady Gaga, her brand new single, Stupid Love. The video's pretty out there, too. She's dressed in all space attire, but like I said, the more that I listen to it, I'm liking it a lot. Guys, our show is brought to you today by American Wealth USA Group, ending America's debt one debt at a time to truly make America great again. Give them a call at 972-764-3120. We want to thank Amos Woolrich for calling in and being our legal scholar and reminding everybody that the world is not coming to an end quite yet. Donald Trump hasn't ruined everything. He's pretty close. Also want to thank Copperhead for dropping in for a few minutes. And, of course, Tim McCunsby, our fitness expert. If you'd like to email Tim and get some, ask him any fitness questions and only fitness or nutrition questions, that's allyouneedtoknowradio@gmail.com. So our last segment is, of course, our entertainment watch. And let's see what we have here. So Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson recently tested positive for, you know, Tom Hanks from Big. He's a pretty huge artist. You're going, who is that? Well, that's who it is. And he and his wife both tested positive for the coronavirus. And they were very honest about it, which I found very brave. They have now been released, and they were talking earlier about how they, because they self, what's it called? They self-quarantined themselves. They were not told they had to be quarantined. So Dr. Drew is taking on the coronavirus, and he says, I've been concerned about the panic. So are you concerned about the panic? I'm a little concerned. Like I said earlier, I'm looking at this as kind of like a 14-day vacation. And I used to like to be around people all the time. I've been taught over the last 4 years it's okay to be by yourself. And so I'm just trying to kind of understand, you know, this, make no mistake, this virus is going to kill millions of people. And it's a very sad fact that I'm stating this now. The Trump administration is offering a $1 trillion whatever they're calling it, business interruption fee, or, you know, like Copperhead just said, he's trying to buy America's vote. And I think also, like almost said, that I think he is probably going to try and do something to delay the vote. However, almost did say that he found it in the Constitution where he does not have that authority. Copperhead would like to say something.
Just a little closing argument here for you. This is going to affect lots of people. There are going to be plenty that are going to get sick and those who may even die. But more importantly, there's going to be lots of people who are going to be impacted monetarily with work and with their income. So just like what America is known for, about giving and helping other people, just like we did after 9/11 and for other situations like this, make sure you go out of your way to find ways to help other people and ask for help if you need it. This is a time for Americans to be true Americans and show the kindness and courtesy and commitment to being Americans that we are. We're not a group that just throws people out into the cold or throws them out of their home or holds them to their feet to the fire when troubles happen. We are the group that takes care of our own, we take care of the world, and we take care of those who are complete strangers to us. So make sure you do your part. this is a good chance for us to show the rest of the world what we are and who we are.
And that is some awesome advice, Copperhead. Thank you for dropping that in. You know, it's one thing he brings to the show is emotion. I think about things that are going on with Trump, and I get into a situation where I'm angry with Donald Trump. Everybody's always like, why do you hate the president? Listen, I don't hate somebody I don't know. I hate his actions. I hate that he is a liar. I hate that he has no credibility with any other world leaders. That puts our country in danger. So, and he, for some reason, loves dictators like Kim Jong-un and Putin. He's Putin's butt boy. So the thing is that I don't hate Donald Trump, so please quit sending me your hate mail. I hate the person Donald Trump is because I don't know Donald Trump. He's not somebody I'd run in a circle with. Not many people that he runs in a circle with right now, he bought his way in there. You know, the night Donald Trump was elected, Rupert Murdoch, which ran Fox News, was supposed to come to his party, and Donald Trump was all excited about it. Rupert Murdoch waited until an hour before the party was over, and all Donald Trump kept telling people is, don't leave yet, he hasn't gotten here. How pathetic, how sad, just once again showing how the president is out of touch. He wants something that he did talk you into, not me. I see right through the man. He's a fraud. This is All You Need to Know Radio. I'm John Hollywood, your host, live from Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much for requesting us to move our show up to an afternoon time. And let us know about that. Go to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube. We're on every single social media platform, Snapchat, on every single social media platform you can be on. Please go like us, follow us, tell your friends and family about us. Our brand new time is Tuesday, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And our sponsor once again was American Wealth USA Group, ending America's debt one debt at a time to once truly make America great again. Call 972-764-3120. And with that, we are out of time. And guys, remember, every morning get up and look at yourself and ask yourself, what have you done today to make yourself feel proud? Do me a favor, every single day, especially with everything that's going on in this world, rise above the negativity in your life or someone else's life around you. You be the strong one. You be the one that apologizes, because right now, everyone in this country is in a mental fuck up. They don't know where they are. They don't know where their next meal's coming. I mean, all the kids that we just put, they just closed the schools down because of the coronavirus. I doubt they go back this year at all. Think if you're a senior this year. Copperhead and I were talking about that, and he said that he thought that most of them would probably have credits. So I'm hoping that's true, but what if it's your senior year? What an awful time for this. But more than anything is that the kids rely on the food that's provided by the schools. So if you can give to the Red Cross, give to a legitimate charity that will take care of people, because there are going to be people literally starving. Look at yourself every day in the morning and say, what have I done to make myself feel proud? Good night from Dallas, Texas, or good afternoon. Bye-bye. See you next week. Bye-bye.